Good morning, and you have tuned in to, 88.5 KRFY. This is the KRFY Morning Show, and we are here live in the studio. I'm Susie Prez, and I have a co-host over there with a big smile on his face. Good morning.
Good morning, Susie. I'm Chris Bessler, your co-host today.
Yeah, it's nice.
Co-pilot.
Co-pilot, as we feel like we're in some kind of a airplane here. And we have a really fun show prepared. We have two different guests coming in, two different ideas. The first one, why don't you tell us about it, Chris?
We're speaking about an event coming up on August 27th. It's called the Sandemonium. And we have with us two of the organizers, Cameron Rasmussen and Sari Ali Brotherton.
Yeah, it's very nice to have you. Say hi, Cameron and Sarah.
Hello.
Hi there.
Great. So we have your voices.
And then the second half of our show, we're going to be talking with Amy Flint about the Back to School Backpack program that the Angels Over Sandpoint puts on every year, and which is kicking up very shortly.
Yep. It's an important program of Angels Over Sandpoint to help the children get back to school in a good way.
So listeners, hang on for that portion of the show if Sandemonium is not your bag. But we're going to make it your bag because it's something surely everybody should be interested in, right, Cameron?
Everybody has a little nerdy core to their being, whether they recognize it or not.
Yeah.
So we're gonna make you get in touch with your nerdy side here today.
Yeah. For folks that aren't familiar with what Sandemonium is, it's kind of Sandpoint's version of the Comic Con, where it combines science fiction, fantasy, role playing.
You know, it's the whole bag. It's the video games. It's movies. It's comics. It's literature. It's pretty much anything that's kind of nerdy or science fiction or fantasy. Animation, you know, it's the whole thing.
Okay, well, we're going to come back to that in just a moment, but in the meantime,
let's hear the weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, it's 53 degrees out. We can expect sunny skies with a high of 91, and that's the last of the really high temperatures for a while. So today, sunny skies, high 91, northwest winds around 6 miles per hour, becoming light and variable. Tonight, mostly clear with low around 58. Calm winds becoming northeast 5 to 9 miles per hour after midnight. Thursday, mostly sunny, high of 78. And the only kind of variance from sunny blue skies is Thursday night, 20% chance of thunderstorms in the evening, and it might be a little breezy with a low of 51. That's pretty much it.
Sounds like pretty nice summer weather.
It is. Lots of sunshine. And I think the full moon was last night.
Yes, it was gorgeous.
It was unbelievable.
I sat out for a while. It was just too nice to stay inside.
And who of any of us here saw the meteor showers?
I hung out on, it was last Thursday was the peak of them, Thursday or Friday. And I hung out for half hour, 45 minutes. I saw a number of cool shooting stars. Yeah,
I think it was last Thursday night that was the peak, and I missed it, unfortunately, but I hear that from other people that went out to check it out, it was very cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah, I made an attempt. I just want to go on the record and get some credit for making an attempt, but I wasn't available Thursday. It was my last day of work, and so I worked from overnight, and then there was no way I was staying up that night.
Yeah.
but my husband and I hiked up to Lake Estelle on the Moose Lake Trailhead that weekend, and that was my attempt. We have a tent that has no rainfly on it. Yeah. We're gonna watch the. Yeah, no, I fell asleep. I mean, that's like a 4 mile hike with a backpack on. I mean, there's no. So we fell asleep.
Yeah.
The sun went down. But I'm sure it was very, very nice.
It was pretty cool. It comes around every August. It's the Perseid meteor shower, and there's a. It's a period of several days where we're seeing a lot more of the shooting stars. Other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 5:42 a.m. It's going to set tonight at 7:57 p.m. So we're starting to see a little bit shorter days now as we get further into summer. Lake Pendere is holding steady at 2062 feet. That's our full pool. We do have six active fires in Idaho, although there aren't any in the Panhandle National Forest. So our air quality has been really good this summer, especially compared to last summer.
I remember last summer you could see the smoke rolling down the street.
Oh, it was, yeah, last summer when all the fires that we had was pretty bad. Yeah, what else is going on around town, Susie?
You know, we have a full events calendar that comes from Keoki and Sandpoint Online that's also on KRFY.org website. But I wanted to mention that on Sunday, coming back to Sandpoint again for I think the second year, it's going to be Shakespeare in the Park. And they especially wanted us to mention that that's Sunday, August 21st. And it's Richard III.
Richard III. It's one of the classic Shakespeare plays. It's going to be at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. And it's not just a play. It's like a whole afternoon of cool stuff going on. The Society for Creative Anachronism is going to be there with a medieval-style village that they're going to create. So it's going to be a really cool cultural experience for people that may not even be really that familiar with Shakespeare. So it's a good opportunity.
Lots of different organizations in town have come together to put this on in different ways. The Music Conservatory has written the music for it. Yeah. It's pretty
and it's
cool.
Sponsored by Lost Tours Press. It's a big project for them. So kudos to them. I want to mention that the festival is just over, of course. We had another terrific festival. I don't know who. What shows did you catch?
Well, I was at all of the main shows, not the classic ones, but the main musical shows. Angelique Kujau was on fire. That's all I can say. It was a whole different experience. I think it was wonderful for our community.
Yeah. And we had Nitty Gritty Dirt Band this last week and Ben Harper. Also, the Spokane Symphony played Sunday, which is just a gorgeous musical experience in the park. So another great festival. Kudos to the festival as well. One more mention here that there was coverage by KHQ of the Sandpoint Ambassadog, which is, of course, the contest that's going on right now to choose an ambassador dog for Sandpoint. It's a benefit, actually, for the Panhandle Animal Shelter. But that's pretty cool to see some, a couple minutes of television time for the Sandpoint Ambassador. They had two of the dogs were on the video clip, and actually one of them was the Sandpoint Reader,
our Drake, the dog columnist,
yeah,
the
your
canine
dog
columnist,
yeah,
yes,
right.
So he got a little bit of airtime, which was kind of cool.
One thing I want to shout out to my favorite ambassador dog, BB,
okay. Who owns BB?
Steve Anderson and Gene Girth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anybody can go on the SandpointAmbassadog.com webpage. You can see all the nominees, as they're called, the entrants in this contest. I think there's well over 50 now. BB's one of them. You can vote on them. Voting is going to help select who the final ambassador dog is.
And you can vote once a day.
Yeah, you can vote once a day. And you can vote for as many dogs as you want one time per day. So you don't have to vote just for BB or Drake.
You can buy votes.
That's right.
$1 a vote, and all the money goes to the Panhandle Animal Shelter because it is a fundraiser
for
the animal shelter.
Wow, so this is like we're really modeling U.S. democracy right now, aren't we?
Exactly. It is a campaign season, so why not just be upfront about it?
I am protesting the ambassador dog because I am a cat person, and I was very disappointed to see this anti-cat discrimination.
Who's our Bernie analog in this race?
I think I don't know.
Sarah, here's what you can do. Is you could try to sway the vote to a dog that is cat-friendly.
Or the most cat-like of the dogs.
The most cat-like of the dogs. Okay.
So you know, Sarah, I'm a cat person too, but BB sort of adopted me. I'm kind of a cat aunt. A dog aunt.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm going to write an article for the reader called The Dogs, Aunts, and Uncles.
I should have submitted my mom's dog to the... Yes, she would have... I mean, she's the most horribly ugly. She's a goblin. She's a 16-year-old toy poodle that's just covered in, like, skin cancers. Yeah, it's...
Yeah. So there are a lot of other things going on around our town this week. The Shakespeare in the Park is a great one, but check out our events calendars. We may not get back to them all. So go to kfy.org to see all the events going on with all the details, as well as you can look into events coming up in coming weeks, such as Sandemonium. And, of course, the events are also on sandpointonline.com. And with that, let's turn to today's guests. Again, we have with us Sarah Ali Brotherton and Cameron Rasmussen. They're with Sandemonium. And we just gave a little rough idea what Sandemonium is, but give us the full story. What is Sandemonium? It's coming up August 27th.
Yep, that's correct. Sandemonium is an event that we kicked off last year. This is our second year. And it is essentially a convention for all things kind of geeky and nerdy. And so, it's styled after Comic-Con, which was, famously started and became very popular in San Diego. And it emphasizes a lot of the same types of things. So cosplay, for those not in the know, that's dressing up as your favorite character from your favorite show or series or movies. So that's very popular, and we get a lot of activity from that. Sarah can probably talk a little bit more about all the other things that go on, because there's a ton of events.
Yeah, we have a really full schedule this year. I'm really excited about all of the talent and the creativity that we managed to bring to our schedule. We have costume contests, also known as a cosplay contest, where people can actually compete to see who has the best costume.
Now, when you say costume, we're talking about characters from some of the big movie franchises.
Some people do, not just the movie franchises. It's really popular to dress up as characters from your favorite animes, the Japanese cartoons, animations. Those are really popular, as well as, you see your more classic superheroes, and you'll see characters from TV shows that are popular now. Supernatural is one that's real popular, Once Upon a Time. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Yeah, and you always get your, Princess Leia's and,
right,
and Luke,
sure,
Skywalker.
The Star Wars and the Star Trek.
And Star Trek, fans.
Yeah. So those are obviously really popular.
Mm-hmm. So everyone likes to dress up. Not everyone is brave enough to come and do the cosplay contest, but it's always a lot of fun when people do, and we have had great turnout.
So the contest consists of people not only having a great costume, but being in character. Is that right?
They don't have to be in character, okay. No. Yeah. That would be cool, but yeah.
A lot of people like to do it that way, though.
Right, yeah, sure, so. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to dress up like Darth Vader, you better talk like Darth Vader.
It is most fun when people get in character, too, for sure. And we have a panel of three judges that judge people based on quality of their costume in terms of materials, craftsmanship, originality, design, how much work they put into it.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's fun. I'm actually, Cameron here is one of our judges.
It's interesting because I'm sort of the friendly face in the crowd because I don't know a whole lot about putting costumes together or anything like that, and so I tend to be a pretty easy grader, whereas we have others in the judging panel that actually know what to look for, and they can get pretty harsh.
Yeah, it can turn into a bloodbath.
Like if you don't have the right medallion on or something like that.
Well, yeah.
Or if you buy your costume at Walmart, you better watch out.
Yeah, that's bad. You can't do that. It's taboo.
Yeah.
But moving beyond the cosplay contest, we also, this year, we're having our Super Smash Brothers tournament. At last year's event was probably one of our most popular events, so this year we're splitting it out into a couple categories. We're doing it singles, doubles, and a casual gamers for kids and for those who probably like me would be just whooped really bad if they entered the pros. So we've got that going on.
Okay, you have to back up.
Okay.
And what is that?
Oh, it's a video game.
A video game. Okay.
Yeah. Super Smash Brothers is a Nintendo video game. So I'm sure everyone in the audience probably is aware of at least Mario.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess the premise of Super Smash Brothers was originally that all the Nintendo characters got together to have a party and instead decided to beat each other up. And so they fight and they all have special moves. And it's actually turned into a really kind of deep nerd culture thing that I didn't even realize was there. I thought it was just a game that you played when you wanted to yell at your friends.
Yeah, no, these games are, they get tournaments together that bring in thousands of people sometimes.
Do you have a bunch of monitors set up for people to sit at and play these games?
We have projectors, and also we have some TVs that we're going to set people up on. And so what they're most comfortable with is hopefully what they'll get. And Smash Brothers is running on the Wii U, so that's the game console.
Okay.
And we have a few of those. And then we have a bunch of other games, too, that people can check out and play. So it should be fun.
Okay. Now, if somebody was interested, heard this, they're interested in checking it out, but know nothing about it? Is there going to be a place for the rank beginner to sample things?
Anyone can come up to any of our volunteers and ask them questions. We try to be real friendly to all people of all skill levels, and I think any of us would be happy to help. People, if you come to the event, look for a badged volunteer or a staff member, and we'd be happy to introduce you. There's nothing I love more than a beginner that I can indoctrinate.
And you know, we always get these types of events always get their share of somewhat baffled parents that are following their kid around, and they just don't exactly know what they're seeing. And so we'll hopefully have some, maybe they want to check out some of the several panels that we have organized, and that can be a good primer into these geek culture type events.
Oh yeah, we've got a lot of cool panels coming this
year.
Okay,
tell us about the panels. What kind of subjects?
So we have, we have a couple costuming for beginners this year, so you can come and learn the basics of making your own cosplay. We have a couple of educational panels. I'm using educational highly loosely at this point. on learning how to play Dungeons & Dragons. If you're ever interested in picking up another addiction, apparently Dungeons & Dragons is the way to go.
Yeah.
That's a role-playing board game.
It's a board game.
Yes.
Not necessarily a
tabletop game.
It's basically communal storytelling where you make a character and a game master tells a story, and your character responds to the events of the story using his various abilities. So
it's like a video game, but the video is your imagination, essentially.
Yeah.
So we have that. We have people who, if you want to learn how to make chain mail, we're having a panel for that. And signups are limited for that one, so check us out on the web and the San Juan Facebook page. We also have panels for people who are interested in learning about, what else do we have? Oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking. The important thing is lots of cool stuff.
There's a chain mail workshop.
Right, I just mentioned that. Oh, you have the schedule in front of you.
I have a schedule in front of
me.
How to play War Machine with
right,
Undergage.
Okay. That's another tabletop game.
That's another tabletop? Yeah, okay.
There's a panel on the origins of the vampire myth.
Yeah, that was a last minute one. That was pretty cool. I'm excited about that. You can learn about where vampires came from.
Yeah.
Not just sparkly ones. I'm looking
at your schedule, and you have a ton of stuff going on. Yeah. Every hour, there's about 6 or 8 different things to choose between.
So people have to make some tough choices, I'm sure, to find out.
And if you ever have a space between your panels and you want to just relax a little bit, we are providing cat video theater in room 7. You can just come in and watch a few cat videos and be on your way.
So this is the second year you've done this.
Yes.
And last year you had about how many people, maybe?
They estimated it about 500 people.
Yeah,
so what are you expecting this year?
I have no idea.
We have no idea. Okay. You have to understand that last year surpassed expectations about 3 or 4-fold. We thought that maybe we would get 100 people dropping by. We had no idea it was going to be as popular as it was. So
last year it was at the library?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this year it's...
Yeah, this year, because we had we were in the library building last year, and we had some problems with code at the last minute, and then, of course, stuffing 500 people into the library.
Yeah.
We knew right away that we needed to move, so this year we have moved to the Forestburg Charter School, which is a really great space for us, and I was going to mention that we can have so many panels at the same time because their layout is just perfect.
Yeah, the classrooms.
For our perfect purpose. We have all the classrooms, and we have the open spaces. So we're at the charter school this year, and I honestly don't know what's going to happen. Last year, we did 500 people competing with an event in Coeur d'Alene, a similar event in Coeur d'Alene, and we didn't advertise outside of Sandpoint. This year, we have pushed our advertisements into the Spokane market. We are not competing with an event in Coeur d'Alene. We're bringing panelists from all over the Northwest, so I'm really thinking that we're going to see good turnout this year.
Pretty huge.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just at the Coeur d'Alene con last week and promoting our event, and that got a huge response. So, we're hopefully going to see a pretty good crowd out there at the school. The other big thing that we were trying to solve this year was the fact that last year we didn't have space for the vendors within the main building at the library, and so they had to go and set up in a separate area, and people had to really deliberately go and check them out.
And a lot of people didn't.
Yeah, so that was a problem, and this year we're going to be able to solve that by having every all the vendors in one consolidated area that you access straight from the entrance.
That's indoors, away from any freak hurricanes, yeah. Unlike last year. That was the other problem last year.
The weather was an issue last year.
So vendors, if you're listening, we're taking care of you. We love you.
Okay, so this is all going on next Saturday. That's August 27th. Starts at 10 a.m., runs through 5 p.m. And I see, actually, at 10 a.m., you have opening ceremonies.
Opening ceremonies.
So what is an opening ceremony for a nerd fest?
It's traditional to have an opening and closing ceremonies in a convention. And it's just a chance for us to all get together at the very beginning and go over the rules, introduce our staff, make sure that everyone's aware. Because we do have some hardline rules. We can't allow weapons that are real, essentially. They have to be fake weapons, and they have to be what we call peace bonded, where the person signs a contract stating that they will do no evil with their fake weapon, and then we mark their weapon to show that they did that. So the opening ceremonies is a good chance to just get everyone really hyped up for the event, go over any rules that we absolutely need followed, and just make sure that everyone is set up to have a good time.
So this is only the second year you've done this.
Yes.
It looks like it's expanded by a large measure. Mm-hmm. Did you go to how to put on a Comic Con class or something?
Cameron did, actually.
In so many words, I suppose. So I got recruited into this last year when Marcy over at the library got a hold of me and said that they were going to be doing this. This was a thing that that the National Association of Libraries was staging a superhero themed year, and so consequently there were a number of libraries that decided to put on their own Comic-Con style event, which is why you had the same thing going on the same day in the Coeur d'Alene Library and the Sandpoint Library. We went down and went to a convention or a conference in Boise, and that was basically just how to plan a successful event, not necessarily a con, but just an event. And then, a little bit down the road, since I actually hadn't gone to any Comic-Con type events in the past, I ended up meeting Sarah, and she's gone to a number, and she was able to really bring her experience and organizational abilities and focus the entire year last year, which was just a huge asset. So, it turned out to be a great thing to get her on the steering committee. Mm-hmm.
So how in the world do you fund something like this? It sounds like one of the things is probably volunteer staff.
Yeah. Well, certainly, we are all volunteers. Some people who are on the committee are paid by their respective organizations, but for the most part, we're kind of donating our time, and we don't have any paid staff at this time. The library, I just want to give a big shout-out to East Bonner County Library, underwrote our venue this year because we did have to pay for the charter school, and they paid it in full, so thank you, East Bonner County Library. Everyone go check out a book. Mm-hmm. And then also we do charge for our vendors. So they pay a vendor fee to sell with us, and that gives us a huge cash boost. And as well, this year, in order to cover the cost of the venue going forward, we are charging a $2 admission fee, cash at the door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the idea was to make sure that we'd be charging at least something that could help us cover our expenses for this and future years, but still keep it affordable for families, because this really is a family event. You get whole families turning out in costume, and it's a pretty cute thing. So, we want to make this something where everybody can turn out and have a great time, and they're not going to break the bank doing it.
No, it's $2. We take cash or card at the door, and also 5 and under are free. So bring your little kids.
So last year you had about 500 people show up,
yes.
I think. And what percentage of those were costumed?
Ooh, maybe, I want to say, is 50% too high, do you think?
Might be it. No, I think that might be yeah. around.
I mean, the quality accurate. Of costumes. Some people can throw on a hoodie and say they're in cosplay. Yeah. So, yeah. you know, what actually constitutes a costume is hard to say. But
that's true. Right. Good point.
Hey, we're kind of all wearing costumes right now. And, yeah? And, you know, if you want to look at the big picture on costumes.
I think we're getting a little too out there.
I'm cosplaying as me on my day off.
What were some of the highlighted costumes that you saw last year?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was a couple little girls, and we actually have videos of them who were dressed as Amidala and Leia, and they were so cute.
Yeah.
So
Star
cute.
Wars.
Yeah. And let's see. We had
somebody do one of the witches from Once Upon a Time.
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool.
And that was very elaborate. Yeah. That was a great demonstration of just how. Much artistry some of these cosplayers bring to their costumes because the stitching was just like
oh, just tremendous.
It was the whole thing was homemade.
My sister was there dressed in as the Spectre from the DC comic universe, and I thought she looked really good. She is on featured on the website or on our Facebook page right now on the banner, so you can check her out there. I saw a lot of Star Trek costumes. I always like those. They touch me on a deeper level.
Star Trek. Connects with you. I want to remind our listeners that this is the 88.5 KRFY morning show with your hosts, Chris and Susie. We're speaking this morning with Sarah Ali Brotherton. I think I got your name
that
right.
That was for the right, first yes.
time. And Cameron Rasmussen. They're both with Sandemonium, which is Sandpoint's version of Comic Con, coming up on August 27th. One of the things on your posters that you're promoting is a live podcast taping. What is that about?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. So Pants Pending Studio down in Spokane is sort of an organization of a media organization of different geek-themed podcasts, and they are coming en masse to Sandemonium this year to be our special guests. We're really excited to have them. Cameron and I appeared on one of their podcasts a couple weeks ago, and it was just a grand old time. So they are kind of they have some improv actors in their midst, and they're doing an improv show. And as well, they're going to tape a live podcast in one of our panel rooms for all their listeners. And hopefully there'll be some audience participation there, which is pretty cool. And then they're also going to give some panels instructing people on how if they wanted to create their own podcast.
And so if somebody wants to listen, or is this a video podcast?
No, they're audio.
It's audio. Yeah. If somebody wants to listen to that, how do they find that?
They usually don't publish their podcast until the day after that they're made. But
okay, you're saying you said live, so it's not actually going to be streamed live.
Not streamed live, okay. No. As far as I know.
Right. It'll be taped live and then rebroadcast.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can always just Google them, Pants Pending Studios. You should find them easily. And they're a really cool organization. I've had a really good time working with them.
You can also take a listen to the podcast that we did, which was under their Geek of All Trades podcast.
Find the Geek of All Trades podcast and look at their most recent entry, and that'll be Cameron and I.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to mention, you guys have a website.
We do.
Sandemonium7b.com. I'll spell that out. It's Sandemonium, the numeral 7, and then b.com. I guess that means the word sandemonium.com was taken by somebody?
Yeah. This was a whole big controversy. We didn't know who had it or what was going on. But we had no idea what use they had for the URL Sandemonium.
What sort of evil they were getting up to with Sandemonium. But we have 7B. And we also honestly do a lot of our organizing through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/SPT Sandemonium. So check that out, too. You can search us on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, then yes, we do have SandpointSandemonium7b.com.
Facebook is probably the best way to keep up to date with what we're up to and what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And who doesn't have Facebook these days?
It sounds like a really fun event. I have one final question. Are you both dressing up?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So I'm decided at this point. I haven't done cosplay yet, but it's not for lack of enthusiasm so much as I'm really lazy when it comes to that sort of thing. I always hate dressing up for Halloween too, I'm thinking if I'm gonna dress up, I either want to do a character from the anime Cowboy Bebop, the main character Spike Spiegel, who's kind of got the same body type as me, Or Morpheus from the Neil Gaiman comic Sandman. So, okay. Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm dressing up this year or not. I will say that I am a cosplayer. I've cosplayed at conventions. And when you're wearing a costume, the ones that I have always liked have been high maintenance. I need, like, a person following me around, making sure the pieces aren't falling off. And when you're, like, the boss for the day, I need pockets. Like, seriously. So I don't know if I'm going
to
cosplay. Well,
okay, so you have to tell us what kind of character you were dressed up as. And you needed somebody making sure your costume...
The last cosplay that I did, I was... I don't even want to say this on the radio. I dressed up as a character from an anime that was an evil character, let's say. Oh, okay. And and he had metal armor. And so I was making sure that my metal armor wasn't slipping. It was held on by magnets because we thought that was a good idea. And so it was so heavy. I was awful. And then the year before that, I had a dress that was falling down and boots that were not made for walking. And cosplay is hard work.
There's a risk of wardrobe malfunction when it comes to some of these costumes. And so you have to be careful.
I'm sure there is.
Well, I know one thing. It sounds like a lot of fun. It's a family-friendly event.
Yes.
It's on the 27th of August at the Forest Bird Charter School. And it goes from 10 until 5 p.m.
That's right.
10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's, wow, great work. I'm really curious. I kind of feel like going down there and just watching.
Check it out. And I just wanted to also throw out to people, the night before, keep tuned to our Sandemonium Facebook page. We're planning a Pokemon Go crawl. Mm-hmm. So check it out.
Pokemon Go crawl. Okay, yeah. Pokemon, that's a whole subject unto itself.
That is, yeah. That needs to be its own radio station.
And remember that Sandemonium, it has an E in it instead of an I. That's why I couldn't find it on Facebook.
Oh.
It's Sandemonium.
Yes. And the website, sandemonium7b.com. So go there to get the whole thing or the Facebook page. And again, the event is next Saturday, August 27th at the Forest Bird Charter School. That's at 614 South Madison, if you haven't been there. And thank you very much, Cameron and Sarah, for coming in.
Yeah, we hope to see all of you there.
And we have a great second part of this show coming up, actually. It's with... Amy Flint, and we're going to be talking about the back-to-school backpack program.
With the Angels Over Sandpoint.
Yes.
Very important program. We're going to take a short musical break. This is the Star Wars theme song performed by Cantina Band Mecco. So here you go. We'll be right back with more of the KRFY Morning Show.
This is in honor of Sandemonium.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you.
Right here on 88.5 KRFY. We'll be right back. And that was part of the Star Wars theme performed by the Cantina Band Mecco. And this is 88.5 KRFY. It's listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. You're tuned in to a live KRFY morning show with Chris and Susie. And we have another guest in the studio. Good morning, Amy Flint from Angels Over Sandpoint.
Good morning, Susie. How are you?
Fine.
Good.
It's nice to have you here, and it's an important program you're going to tell us about. And... Chris, you want to ask a question?
Oh, well, sure. Amy, let's start at the top. What is the back-to-school backpack program?
Well, it's the largest expenditure that the Angels have every year. It costs close to about $30,000. And the way it works is we purchase through Staples all the backpacks and school supplies. What we did was we originally were trying to work off of individual teachers' lists of supplies, and that the program expanded so much that was just too labor intensive and too much of a nightmare. So what we did was we consolidated everything, and so we have a first grade list and a second grade list and a third grade list, and we've streamlined it amazingly. We've had to now that we're serving, you know, like up to 900 or 1,000 kids.
Wow. Is this just at Farm and Stidwell School, or what schools are you serving?
We serve all of Bonner County. So we expand out to Clark Fork and Priest River.
I see.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're actually covering two school districts because Priest River has their own district.
Yes.
Yeah?
So it's just all Bonner County.
Okay.
So it can be more than one school district is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So describe what's in the backpacks a little bit.
it's just all the basic supplies. When we get up to, you know, the primary grades, it's fewer supplies. But when we get up to middle school and high school, those bags of supplies are heavy. I mean, there's everything from calculators, notebooks, paper, math supplies like compasses and protractors, and just tons and tons of stuff. I mean, we really, our goal is really to get every student set up for the school year so that they have everything they need.
Mm.
And how long has this been going on, and why and how did it come about in the beginning?
Well, this is our 14th year. And how it started was, it kind of started the same time the Angels Over Sandpoint started. It was one of our first projects that we took on. And there was just an identified need that there were families who were struggling, having to make a choice between buying, you know, school shoes for their children or buying supplies for their children. And our targeted population are those students who receive free or reduced lunch. And we have at least 2,000 of those students in Bonner County. So we identified the need. The first year, we only had 50, and we actually distributed the supplies out of a trailer at the Community Action Partnership location, and it just has grown exponentially from then.
Hmm. So now you're putting together about 900 backpacks?
Bags, yeah. What we do is we have shopping bags that all the supplies go in, because we want the students to individually choose their own backpack. So they choose their backpack, and then they get a bag of supplies to fill it.
Oh, that's nice. Oh. They can choose their own color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just have to be careful. Sometimes the kindergarten or first graders want the high school size backpacks. Like, So we've kind of figured it out that this is, you know, we divide it according to grade.
Okay.
That kind of thing. So.
Okay. Is there a single day that this occurs?
Yes. The distribution, there's two distributions, and this is at the gym at Farm and Stidwell School. The first one and the busiest one is August 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. And that one's very popular because it's more into the evening hours when families can easily come by after work or whatever. The second one is the next morning, August 31st, Wednesday, between 10 and noon.
Okay.
And we do need to have, even families who have participated before, need to contact the CAP office, ideally by tomorrow, to get on the list. The CAP phone number is 255-2910. And we don't turn anyone away during distribution, but they will have to wait in line and get registered at the time instead of just being able to come in and pick up the supplies. And it's really important for us to have a pretty accurate number by tomorrow so that we can have enough supplies and have everything ready
to go. There's probably a lot of time putting all that stuff together, and so you have to kind of get a sense. And
yes,
again, that number to register to participate in the Backpack to School is the CAP office at 255-2910. And today is the day to do it.
Today or tomorrow.
Okay. Today or tomorrow.
Right, yeah. Right.
You mentioned the CAP office. What's CAP stand for?
Community Action Partnership.
Oh, okay.
And they have been our partner in this since the beginning. What they do is they kind of take the calls and create the list. And I want to emphasize that just because you participated last year does not mean you're automatically on the list. So I want to make sure people understand that and that they do need to call the CAP office.
When they call the CAP office and they register, they'll probably get a number or their name will go in and their name will be at the distribution.
Exactly.
At the time.
What we need is we need the parent's name, and then we also need the grade level of each of the children so that we can accurately get the supplies ready.
Mm-hmm. Preparing. And then talking about preparing for this big event where you distribute these school supplies and backpacks is, how do you put it all together? What kind of infrastructure do you have? Where do you do this? And you said you receive all of the materials from Staples, which they probably give you a great deal. But it costs money and it costs time and energy of human power.
Sure. So in terms of the financial end of things, we do a put out a donation letter to the community in June, and we've been having the donations have been rolling in pretty nicely, which is great. Of course, we're not always updated on correct addresses for people, so we do have some of the letters are returned to us. So anybody who has donated before, it would be wonderful if you could update your information, or the easiest thing is to go to angelsoversandpoint.org, and every page on our website has a donate button. And if you choose to donate that way, there is a box where you can type in back to school, so that your donation will be earmarked only for the back-to-school program rather than just the general fund. I also write grants for this program. So we get approximately 50% of what we need from the community donations, and then the other 50% comes from grants through the Inland Northwest Community Foundation. And also the Cadeau Foundation out of Arizona has targeted, I think, Bonner and Boundary counties as areas where they want to be supporting the communities. So, and as far as the work involved, Staples delivers all the supplies to Farman Monday morning, during distribution week, the 29th. We have lots of volunteers. We have some community volunteers that come in, but mostly it's Angels Over Sandpoint members. And we have to unpack all the boxes and get everything organized and laid out. And then we just use an assembly line process to get all the bags filled. And we start with the early grades and move our way up. And by about 2 or 3 in the afternoon on Monday, we've got it done because we have enough people there and we've streamlined the process and just made it flow really well. And then, of course, we also have a lot of volunteers who we need to have, especially on that Tuesday night distribution that's so busy. But that's a popular time for the volunteers because they just love to see how excited the kids are. Mm-hmm. So, great.
I just want to say again, if someone wanted to make a donation, they could go to angelsoversandpoint.org.
That's right.
That's your website. Mm-hmm. And there's PayPal, probably secure PayPal buttons, donate.
Absolutely.
And you can even designate that you want your donation to go to the backpack program.
Right. You just have to type in back to school in the box where it asks what program.
Mm-hmm.
The other option, too, if somebody wanted to send a check, they could mail that to the Angels Over Sandpoint at P.O. Box 2369 in Sandpoint, 83864. But the easiest thing is the website.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about Angels Over Sandpoint.
Well, it started shortly after the death of Kathy Pelland, who was a wonderful member of the community, and she was killed by a drunk driver on the Long Bridge. And it was actually at her kind of memorial service that people were reminiscing about times Kathy had helped them out or things that she had done. And the idea came up that, you know, in Kathy's memory, we need to make something happen. We need to continue her legacy. And that's how the Angels Over Sandpoint was born. And it started small and it's just grown from there.
And that was in 1997, I think.
Yes.
When Kathy died and the Angels got started then.
Yes, yes. And we've been a 501c3 since 2002.
And besides the backpack program, there's a lot of other things the Angels do.
Well, we're kind of notorious for the Follies, the first weekend in March every year.
Your big fundraiser.
I always kind of have to cringe when I say that because it is such a crazy, wild event. It's almost too much for me sometimes. But it generates a lot of money.
It's a very humorous but kind of raunchy
humor sort of thing.
And you sell out 2 shows every year.
Yeah, yeah, and occasionally we've even had 2 weekends, which is a lot more work, of course, for all the performers. And
right.
Everyone is volunteers. I mean, we have such a low overhead. That's why we're able to do so much for the community. We don't even maintain an office space, so that keeps our expenses down considerably. None of the officers or members receive any kind of pay, and you know, I mean, there's a downside to an all-volunteer organization, too, but I think we're doing a phenomenal job for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the other ways that you do help in the community? I know there's many. The backpack program is your largest.
Right. We also have multiple scholarship programs. We do grants twice a year. Specific grants. We have other fundraisers. What we had to do, we used to look individually at requests people would make for assistance, and our goal is to help people who don't have any other resources available in the community. Okay. People who would otherwise be falling through the cracks. So that's always been our goal. The other part of our goal is a hand up, not a hand out. So we most typically help people who are just going through a really rough patch, and if they just get a little bit of help, they're going to be okay going forward. Mm-hmm. So that's what we look at.
That's a direct community assistance program.
Well, really not anymore, because it's grown so much, and because we're an all-volunteer organization, it was becoming a full-time job to manage all these requests. So what we've done is we have divided our resources amongst various other community and Bonner County organizations. For example, Navigation Services at Health and Welfare, Allison handles rent and utilities assistance. And so we just have a pot of money that goes to them quarterly. We also help the Priest River Advocates with homeless women and children, especially those who are leaving domestic violence situations. And we also provide money to Kinixu Health Services for mental health, dental, behavioral. There are a lot of things that aren't covered by insurance, darn it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. We try to fill some of those gaps, but we do very little in the way of individual assistance requests right now. But we do the scholarships and then a grant program. So we found ways that are less labor intensive to distribute the money throughout the community.
Well, I know that you just became the president of Angels Over Sandpoint, so congratulations and thanks for taking on that bigger job.
Yeah, thank you.
Holding the big picture. And you came on today because you really want people to know, our listeners to know about the Backpack School Supply Program, and that the registration deadline is today and tomorrow to kind of get in to the system. And the number to call is 255-2910. Anything else about that?
Well,
and what else do you want our listeners to know?
Well, if you call, and you're very likely, when you call Community Action Partnership, you will be leaving a message. But that's fine. That's enough to get you on the list. Someone will call you back and get the details. And again, we don't turn people away. So if someone doesn't make it by tomorrow with their registration process, they'll still be able to call the Community Action Partnership and get on the list. Or worst case scenario is show up during distribution, but then they will have to wait and get registered on site. And so there'll be a delay if it is managed that way. And again, there's a possibility, if we don't know how many people for sure are coming, then we might not have enough supply. So really highly recommended to get on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. It sounds like a wonderful program for our community. Are the Angels at all involved in the school weekend food program, where some of the children go home with food in a backpack?
No, I think that's a program that the food bank has established.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there are some other agencies that are doing different things, trying to fill some of these
and
gaps.
And there's a new nonprofit group, Food for Our Children, which is also participating in that, I believe.
Yes. Well, you can't say that the children aren't the most worthy of in our community to help and to protect and take care of. So wonderful work that the Angels are doing, and we can say thank you to the work you're doing.
All right. Well, thank you. We're proud of the fact that we can put so much money, probably 90 to 95% of the funds we raise go right back into the community, and that feels really good. That's what we're all about.
Absolutely. So Amy Flint, president of the board of Angels Over Sandpoint, thank you so much for coming in. I'm going to say that number one more time. To register to get a back-to-school backpack is 255-2910. It's the CAP office, and you can leave a message and someone will call you back.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And to get more information about the group, again, you could go to angelsoversandpoint.org. There's information about the backpack program. The phone number is there as well. And again, Amy, thanks for coming in, and thanks for the good work you're doing.
All right, thank you.
We're going to take a short musical break. This is The Beatles. It was the number one song on this day in 1967. It's All You Need Is Love. We'll be right back with a little bit more of the morning show, the community calendar. Stay tuned. That was The Beatles, Love Is All You Need. And this is 88.5 KRFY. That was the number one song on this day in 1967. Great song.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, you know, you could do a Beatles number one song probably every day of the year.
Pretty much.
Because they had so many number one songs for that period there that they were making their music. And what else is going on? Susie, what should we have a few minutes left to touch on some things happening. Well, let's say that next Wednesday on the morning show, on our morning show, we're going to be talking about the school levy, which is coming up on August 30th. We're going to have in Sean Woodward. We're also arranging for a supporter and an opponent of the levy to come in and tell us why they support or why they oppose it. So hopefully this will be a very informative show. We're going to be going through what the levy's about. Sean will give us just the background and the stats and the facts on the levy, and the supporters and the opponents will give us the pro and con.
And I know there's a lot of controversy going on. A lot of people feel very passionate about this, and our goal by having both the supporters and the opponents come on together is to have that conversation where we can kind of, I wouldn't say debate, but really hash out a little bit of the information so that our listeners can be informed and make decisions about.
And make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. And the folks that are weighing it out still, trying to decide where they fall, they'd have an opportunity to weigh all the facts and make a decision on how they might vote. And that vote, again, is next, is going to be Tuesday, August 30th. Hopefully all of our listeners will be engaged in this and be voting.
Because if you don't vote, guess what? You don't have a say in it. Exactly. So I think that's the most important thing, and that's what we're trying to do. And coming up through the elections, as the general election comes up in November, we will be having, by the way, on Wednesdays, what did we call it? Election Central 2016. We will have opponents from contested races come on together and talk to our listeners about what their stand is on various subjects.
Yes, and that'll be starting. That'll be a series that we start in late September, and we'll have different races featured each Wednesday up until Election Day in November. So, again, our goal there is to bring the candidates in, let them speak to the issues, and help the voters get informed.
And then there will also be, since we're talking about voting and elections and being involved in the civic part of our lives, a forum at the high school, I would imagine, again, put on by the Reader and Keoki,
Yes.
or Sandpoint Online.
Yes, yes. And it's tentatively scheduled right now for the Wednesday before the election, which is November 2nd. So, and we'll have more information on that.
And we're hoping that KRFY will be able to stream it live.
Somebody, yes.
Actually, people have asked me if we could do that too.
Yep. We're going to be working on that. We're going to be working on a live stream of the candidates forum that people could tune into right here at 88.5.
We only have about a minute and a half left. We just want to let you know that tomorrow on the KRFY Morning Show, it's Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, your hosts, and their guests will be a variety of artists who are having and hosting this week's Artist Studio Tour. They explain it very well, and it's kind of interesting to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Have a good week.
We hope you have a good day and a good week. This is the Love and Spoonfuls' Summer in the City. I think it was the number one song in 1966 on this day.